Welcome to the Hummingbird Effect. Let us touch, move, and inspire you with our unfiltered, honest, life information that speaks to and nourishes your soul. With your host, Farika and Lakita. So what's today's sweet nectar?
We're coming back to do over the... We started recording, okay?
Yes.
And then when we got to recording, we started recording with an idea of what this episode was supposed to be about. And then essentially, it was supposed to be about loss, but more specifically like loss of a loved one. Or are you prepared to go? Because, you know, you never know when...
It's
your time, mm-hmm. and are you leaving behind the adequate things to make sure that people that you're leaving behind are okay?
Right.
Or, you know, do you have things kind of situated?
Right. Do you have a plan?
Right, a plan.
Right. So you know, exactly.
But after we came up with the idea and we did separate recordings, one with our third host on trial.
Hi, Dana.
She on trial. You know, she got 90 days and then, you know.
Oh, boy. Then she can get her name on the marquee.
But no, but seriously, you know, we recorded some a portion of this episode with Dana. And then we recorded another portion with a separate interview with a friend of mine, Aaliyah. And when she got to talking, it totally blew our minds to the point that we realized loss is loss.
Yeah.
And it's really, it could be death, it could be a job, it could be family, you know, it could be anything, a pet, it could be anything.
A relationship.
Anything. And you.
There was something else we said.
And you.
A car, house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Finances.
Right.
You know?
Finances. Mm-hmm.
And you deal with it the same way. Inside of that, another thing that occurred prior to us publishing this episode was right when we were ready to hit okay and send, Kobe Bryant passed away. Mm-hmm. And so it got us back to the point of, or to the experience of
loss
and preparedness, because that was unexpected. Completely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our hearts go out to Vanessa Bryant, her family, her children that have been left behind, you know, his family, you know, it's just the whole Bryant family and the other survivors of the families of the other members that were lost on that same tragic flight. So it got us back to, but are you prepared?
Right.
So in this episode, we just wanted to let everybody know that, you know, we're still being facetious and fun and everything like that, but we are kind of bringing up something that is kind of touchy
and sensitive
for people, but it's a necessary conversation, as we found out, because you never know what's around the corner for you.
Right.
And are you prepared? And how do you deal with loss of any kind?
Right.
Because how you deal with loss with a loved one, of a loved one, is kind of how you're dealing with loss with everything.
Yes.
It's universal. Yes. Loss is loss. In case y'all were wondering, we were listening to different little interludes and noises because sounds, but noise to me, because you know I'm going to make them into noise. But we're on a new platform and we have interlude music and background music, as you can hear. That's what it's missing. It's just missing. It has it, but it's missing the classic 70s. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. I think this should be our theme music.
Your new theme music.
I feel like it's a 70s exploitation. Like I should come in with my gun up like,
yes.
What you talking about, fool? I'm just bad.
You know what I mean?
I need an Afro wig.
That's yes, you do. Ooh, we need to do this one live on YouTube. You are so silly. If you do that with that Afro wig, I'm not gonna be able to do the segment.
And then you'd start dancing with your thumbs.
Your bell bottoms swinging.
I need some bell bottoms. I like this. Smooth. And I mean, I like this song and everything, but it's funny that this is really not appropriate for what we're about to talk about.
Yeah, no, not in the least bit. So we're just trying to get y'all to get some giggles, kicks and giggles right now because it's getting ready to be serious.
Uh-oh, I love that part. Uh-oh.
Well, I guess that song was... Anyway. Welcome to the Hummingbird Effect. I mean, right? What an innovation inspires innovation. Well, how do you know that's really what you're doing? What are you doing?
I'm doing the background.
Okay.
Look, welcome to the Hummingbird Effect, where innovation... I mean, we tried to do this with... Yeah, we can't... Thumb dance and I can't.
It was fun.
Welcome to the Hummingbird Effect, where innovation inspires innovation from one passion to another. Okay. I'm your host, Farika. I'm Farika B. Redo. We need to change that.
Yes,
okay.
We do.
Because I have changed my name. Wait a second. I'm talking. I can't talk and dance with my thumbs. You are dancing with your thumbs, but you're not talking.
I was giving you the theme
you're
music.
A distraction.
Oh God. Go ahead.
I'm Farika B. Redo. And if you're English, Redux. Okay. Yeah. Okay. She is still sitting here dancing with her thumbs.
I can't help it.
I'm the ageless voice. Beauty expert, keeper of those receipts, that's right, also known as Human Google, and I'm also a lover of, messed it up. I'm the Human Google.
Yes.
You know why?
Why?
Because I love fun facts. Okay.
Yay!
With my co-host, Lakita. Wait a second.
The bold voice.
What if you are offbeat?
But it was fun.
Okay.
The bold voice, the energizer bunny, the workout queen, and the mother of sunshines.
Are they still shining?
Partly cloudy with a chance of torrential downpour, hurricane season.
So dang. I didn't say it. I just asked her, still shining. She said, could be hurricane season. Okay, so maybe not. But we're about to talk about some really deep stuff. So we're going to have to kill this music, okay? Because this music is way too much fun. And not that we're going to be talking about something not so fun. But yeah, as always, we'll still have our little fun take on it. But still, we're about to be serious. That's where we need to put the
serious transition.
Yeah, serious transition. Yeah, because we're serious. That was a little more serious than I was imagining. I mean, it was serious.
That just brought the whole vibe down.
I mean, it was serious.
But
we are talking about something serious.
Very serious topic.
Very serious topic. So, essentially, we are about to start talking about the next steps in the journey. Everybody kind of wants to avoid this part of the journey of life, but death... comes, and it comes without knowing. And unless you and God have made a pact where you gonna know, you ain't gonna know.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you prepared?
Are you prepared?
That is a question, right? Yeah. Like, I don't think a lot of people, especially not in our age group, think about that. Because,
really.
I mean, technically, considered lifespans are now 80 and 90 years old,
exactly.
Even 100.
Yeah.
No one in their 30s, 40s, and 50s think about death, not to mention anything younger. We ain't even going there because we already know they're not thinking about it. But definitely not anyone in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. Yet, that's usually where death starts catching up with you.
Yeah.
And most of us, at least I can speak honestly, I'm not prepared.
No.
I mean, and we've had experiences that have gotten us here
that made us want to talk about this last year, you know.
Yeah, well, my father passed. I mean, unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And really kind of made all of us start thinking about, okay, what do we have in place for our children? And it's really made me really start thinking about what do I have in place and how do I want to be buried and what I want to do and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then just making sure that they know and have access to all of my personal information and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then for myself, I had to go to the funeral home and talk and sit with my mother talking about next steps planning, you know?
Right.
And that was an eye opener because I learned some stuff that I didn't even know about funeral planning.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, how that works. I mean, you think you know, but you don't. No. You think you know. Oh, I mean, everybody, I think, at least for me, I thought it was just you have life insurance, you pay them off, and you put you in the ground.
But yep.
That don't seem to be it.
No, so, it's a lot more to it.
Yeah, a lot more to it than that. The realization is that we need to get our affairs in order. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this isn't just for us. No. I'm sure that other people listening, you know, as much as you may think you are prepared, are you really? Because you never know when it's going to happen. And especially if you have children or if you have properties or businesses or things like that.
Or just even a significant other.
Or sorry, I forgot about that. Like, you just got some kids, right?
Right, right, right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, if you have things that you cherish that you know need to live beyond you.
Right.
Then you need to be prepared to what you're going to do with that and how people are supposed to take care of that.
Yes, you need to have a plan.
Yeah. So this is the episode. This episode is about the next journey, and it's called The Last Will and Testament.
Yeah.
Because that's where the next journey usually starts off with. They always start with that piece of paper saying that this is your last
will and testament.
So we've experienced a lot this year. You know, we're on this pathway of talking about journeys, right? And one of the journey that we have had to experience, both directly and indirectly, is fortunately death.
Yeah.
Lakita had a passing of her father. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had a passing of any of my parents, but I had to sit in a funeral home and talk about next steps. And that floored me. Like, it just takes you somewhere because you start thinking like, oh my God, you learn a lot when you're sitting there going through that process, but you also learn a lot about yourself.
Right.
And you kind of get to a point of like starting to think like, what's next? And it made me think like, I'm sure we're not the only ones thinking what's next, or are we? Because there's also, we're not old enough where people would consider us to think about that. But it is real.
Oh, yeah, we are.
And it became very real for me sitting there. Right. So we once again have our third party.
They can't get rid of me.
Special guest.
Pretty much. That's really how it is. In fact, she came to the mic and pushed Lakita and I out the way as she came forward.
She had to do her solo.
Right. Hey, she has her solo.
You invited me, so.
So it's a third party. We're going to discuss, unfortunately, death. So I don't know about you all. Like, for me, it began, like I said, when I had to go earlier this year to the funeral home to discuss, you know, the process. It's not that we set up any real arrangements per se, because my mother is very defiant on this. I don't know. Ooh. I think she thinks she's living for forever. I don't know what she thinks. I don't know what she thinks is happening next. Mm-hmm. But she was real defiant about this. It was like pulling teeth from an alligator. Wow. Like, she didn't want to go. But forcibly, we had to go because to get her some benefits as far as, you know, some stuff. We needed to have the information to be able to process some stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. So, needless to say, we find ourselves there. And
I'm learning stuff that I didn't know. But at the same time, it's like confronting. Your mortality is like sitting there next to you. Like, you know you're going to die eventually. Right. And you're like, no, but I'm too young. And the reality is, no, you're never too young and you're never too old to die. No, like, yeah, death comes when it comes.
That's right.
And unfortunately, you don't live for free. You're not born for free. And you damn for sure don't die for free.
Wow.
So you have to think about these things.
Yeah. I had a cousin who committed suicide at 17. She was 1 year younger than I.
Oh, my God.
And from that point, I've always been sensitive to the spirit exchange.
Yeah.
And so it didn't occur to me that the person had to be older or whatever, that people will start dying. It could be you today, tomorrow scenario. Mm-hmm. So that spirit exchanges was important to me. So that's why I never got caught up into the age and then also the whole funeral process and all of that. Mm. Because to me, it's the spirit exchange that's the most important while you're here.
Yeah.
And I just can't get wrapped up into funeral and the casket and the clothes and the hair and all of that stuff. More importantly, what me and her share with one another is what I wanted to remember. And that's why I think I love people. I love that spirit exchange. Yeah. I want to know all about you because you can go tomorrow.
That's true.
I just always been sensitive that it could be just that simple. You would leave here and never see you again in this way. You know?
That's a very valid
point. So it never even, I never think about, oh, people getting old and they're going to die. It could be to, you know, 2 years old and tomorrow you're not here.
And it can be. I mean, considering that we're not 20, but we're not 60, right? We're not,
Hey now.
You're 60?
No, but I'm not that far.
Are you 60?
No.
But what are you hanging about? You're not 60.
But
I'm joking.
I'm like, wait a minute.
What I'm saying is that we are at a point, you all have children.
Yeah.
You have to consider these things, right? Even if you don't have children, if you have property, you have to consider what's happening next in regards to life and death.
Mm.
And there are people who don't make it to the 30th high school reunion.
Yeah.
They don't even make it, some of them, to the 20th high school reunion.
Yeah.
But, getting back to what you were saying, I like that spirit exchange.
Yeah.
I do agree. In fact, I coined
a
term. I did, because there's this girl that I know, and I said I like our spirit ship.
Oh,
like, we're not close friends.
Yeah.
We really don't communicate like that, but we have a kindred spirit with what we can say we like that are compatible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I like your spirit ship, so I don't want to ever ruin that with us, and she was just like, I like that term.
Me too.
And I was like, thank you. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one right here. I think that's what has had us be friends for so long.
Mm-hmm.
We have a spirit ship.
Yes.
Like, she is more like family and like a little sister and all that other stuff, but it's the spirit. She does have the spirit ship with me that I don't think we can break at this point, you know?
No.
And it's a growing spirit ship with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have a spirit ship.
Uh-huh.
We are. Like,
we are.
I mean, I haven't known you as long, but we're evolving, but I'm just saying. Like, I get what you're saying with that, but for me, it was still something to sit there. I know what you're saying. The arrangements, like, for my mother, she's not getting cremated. It's just not happening, right?
Right.
The old school people, cremation for some is just like taboo.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost against God in their opinion in some cases, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard
New
that.
School people, it's not the same because they, like you said, it's more about what I'm doing right now.
Right.
Because once I'm gone, I'm gone.
Exactly.
For me personally, I'm more of I'm like an old school, but I get the new school. I'm not judging. Just personally.
New hotness?
Forget you, Lakeitha. The point I'm making is
old hotness.
Old hotness. I like that. You can't call you can't call her old. That's taboo. You done said it. Look out.
She said new school, old school. Where the old come in?
I'm talking about in spirit.
Ooh, Lord, today.
Anyway, the point I'm making is no, but for me, I can't. She gonna snort.
You invited me. You had to take all of it.
Okay.
So as I was saying, I'm editing all of this.
Right.
Anyway.
You can't
the snort that. Is good.
The snort. Yes. You gotta keep the snort. You kept the sand organic. From your chest. You gotta keep the snort.
No.
Okay. No, but what I'm saying is that I guess I can understand the old school with the whole one to put your body back into the ground.
Yeah,
you're from the earth of the earth, you know, ashes. I get where y'all going with the ashes to ashes, but the ashes to ashes, dust to dust, you know, that was how it was originated, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, they're in history in both European and in some Middle Eastern and African and Indian cultures. There are people that would sit, if they had water nearby, they would mm-hmm. send the body down. It, you know, in flames on the water because they knew it would eventually sink into the ground or to the water, right? Mm-hmm. So I get that there was always cremation or cremation process has always been a part of death. It's also because they couldn't dig up every little plot of land they had to put somebody in it. Right, so I get that it the both exists. Uh-huh. But for me, I guess it's a preference of I would want to go back in the ground. Uh-huh. Now, do I need a Fleetwood Mac? A Coupe de Ville?
Not a Fleetwood Mac!
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean.
Do I need a Coupe de Ville casket?
Right.
No.
Right.
I don't need to be freaked out. I don't need the Mercedes emblem on my casket.
Tricked out casket.
I don't need my casket to be jumping up and down.
And
don't stand me up outside the casket greeting folks. Have you seen those funerals lately?
No.
That's a new trend.
Are you serious?
I kid you not. They have people stand. They prop the bodies up outside the casket.
I wouldn't be in it. See, I wouldn't even go in the church.
Google.
There's no way.
Google that.
Listen. This makes me think about Aretha Franklin. And no, seriously, no, for real.
And that 20-year
funeral procession. We're still celebrating her funeral, right?
For real. This don't make no sense. Now, she didn't have 4 funerals. 4 wardrobe changes, okay? No, listen. She had pink Cadillac taking her to one of them.
Really?
But guess what? But you're going to have a handwritten will that they found, months later.
Right.
She didn't take care of business,
but
she took care of making sure she had 4 funerals and that she was styled up for each one of them. And, you know, you riding up in pink Cadillacs. That's unacceptable to me.
Yeah.
And like, that's why I'm saying we need to concentrate on the spirit exchange here.
Mm-hmm.
Why you're on earth, are you taking care of that business here? Because that money being spent, that's just thousands and thousands of dollars being blown away.
Yep. And the funeral business is big business. I mean, you go into the funeral business basically to make money because everybody's going to die. Somebody's dying right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always death upon us somewhere. And yeah, you're right. The extravagance of a funeral is so unnecessary.
Man,
like you're dead. The body's dead. You know, I shared before we started recording that, you know, I did the makeup and hair for a loved one. A friend's mother passed and I did her makeup and hair. That was the closest to a dead body I've ever been in life. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an experience that I will never forget.
Right.
But mm-hmm. now that I know, you ain't got to put me in through all of that. I don't want no open casket.
Right.
I don't want you to see me. I want a closed casket. You can make it a pine box for all I care because I'm gone.
Right.
I don't care. I just personally want to go back in the ground, but I don't need the elaborate. In fact, I don't need you to come and you go visit the plot. Go visit the plot. You don't even need to come. I don't need all of that.
Don't
I don't want all that ceremonial stuff because what are you celebrating?
Right.
You should have celebrated me when I was here.
I want a memorial service.
Yeah, I mean, you can give me that.
I want pictures. Mm-hmm. I want people to come together.
You can give me
and
that.
Celebrate my life.
But you can do that at home. You ain't got to have it at the funeral home
now,
and stuff.
Well,
at the funeral home. It could be a place. A memorial service could be anywhere.
Right.
That's just in remembrance of me.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I just don't care for people, the viewing of the body. Now, for my immediate family, if they just have to have that closure for themselves, that's fine.
Right.
But I don't want people looking at my skin and my hair and my clothes and and that being a lasting memory. I want what we shared, spirit exactly. exchange,
right.
that be the lasting thing. Yeah. Because when I walk away from someone that I experience life with, I'm thinking about all the memories and stuff.
Yes.
Right. I don't want to have this dead picture in my mind. I'm sorry. Yeah, I just don't.
My sister rarely does a viewing of the body. And yes. It took her when my father passed. She would not go like the final viewing before, you know, we actually had the funeral service. Her husband had to be there with her, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Cause that's just one thing that she would, and that's just her. She always wants to remember the person the way that they were. I don't necessarily have, like, when it comes to viewing a body, I don't necessarily have a preference. I usually view the body to kind of say my own goodbyes.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the whole spirit thing, mm-hmm. but my first funeral was when I was six. Mm-hmm. My grandmother passed when I was six. I went to a final viewing. I actually touched my grandmother. Mm-hmm. You know, we had this conversation, but mm-hmm. So I've never had that scary kind of, ooh, I don't want to, you know, go up there and touch you type of, and I've never had this thing about, well, I want to remember you the way that you know, were in life, because it's never been, I guess death has never been a taboo because I experienced it at such a young age.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so I don't know where I got the whole idea of, I don't want a casket. Like to be honest, I want to be cremated, and I don't know exactly where that first thought came. But I've always wanted to be cremated.
Hmm.
I was telling y'all, I wanted to be elaborate, and I wanted them to take my ashes down to the Nile, and you know, that was that whole.
Ain't nobody doing that.
Hey, I'm talking about
your ashes is on their own.
they be like, put her in this pond. She don't know she can't.
Be sitting there off with the captain of the flight, talking about some. Can you dump these when you en route?
Can you just shoot that out the right? No, but if anything, just put me. I honestly wouldn't mind putting in a beach. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, toss me in the water. And I mean,
it's just the way you said it. I imagine.
Right. See ya. Right. Bye, Mom. You know, peace. No, but it's never been this big to do for me.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, you know, that type of thing. And talking with my mother, she wants a traditional service, but same thing. She don't want you to spend, you know, mm-hmm. grands on her casket.
Right.
It's like what you said. She don't mm-hmm. want to be, you know, buried in a Cadillac.
Mercedes Benz.
Right. She just, you know, simple casket, you know, and that was what my father saying. It was like mm-hmm. a simple casket, a simple ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was it. So it's interesting how we as a people kind of take, you know,
I would like to know who was the first, you know, like one of those, if I had to say when history occurred,
right.
You know, was it a pimp? Like, who was the first?
Who started the casket?
Was it a reverend? Well, you know, because, you know, we have some mm-hmm. elaborate people mm-hmm. of the cloth, right?
Mm-hmm. Think about,
I just wonder, like,
who started
this elaborate, gotta go out with a bang thing?
But if you think about King Tut, and you think about the pimp, he got everything in there with him.
They don't play around. Yes.
And look, and the service, everybody got right. Everybody died with him. It was like, dang, well, I can't. Mummifying him, cats.
They went through a lot. They went through a lot. But don't they believe they going somewhere on the other side, though?
Yes.
That's why they taking all this
and
stuff.
And they took all their earthly possessions because they're taking it to the other side.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, you're right. Okay, yeah. So basically what you're saying is black people.
You know how we are. I'm sorry. You know, everything got to be some elaborate.
It just can't be simple.
You know they celebrated his funeral for weeks.
Because look, Viking history.
They had to make the pyramids.
Because Viking history is they sit your ass on a bed of wood, shot you out into the water and set you, and then did a bow and arrow kind of shit, you know, like hit you with a flame and set you on fire in the middle of the water. Like they ain't even set you on fire from the beginning. They wait till you like halfway out there and then just set you on fire by bow and arrow. So, you know, that's not elaborate, but black folks, that's what it was.
Seriously, like Lakita, I've been going to funerals since I can just remember it from day one or something. My mother was always the one. She always went to everybody's funeral. She had to be there to sign the book. It is respect for the family. She cooking meals, everything. Really? I mean, to this day.
Wow.
She'll send somebody. If she can't go, she sends somebody she know to go sign the book or send some food over to the family. It was just respect and honor for her.
I'm the opposite. But for years, family member, no family member. I was like your sister. Mm-hmm. I'm going to remember that person alive, happy, joyful. I'm going to remember my memories with them. I do not want to stare down in that casket and have to see them stiff and dead. It just used to tear me up. Mm-hmm. And that was I don't remember my first funeral, quite honestly, because I just know I consciously started making the choice to not go when my aunt passed. I love my Aunt Lily. Uh-huh. And when she passed, I was like, I cannot go and watch her be sitting there stiff and dead. I couldn't go. Mm. And everybody, I don't know if they judged me. They might have, I don't know. It was my way of bereavement. It wasn't theirs, so it was my journey, not theirs, right? And I was okay with that journey, and I did that for years. I'm going to tell you, the first funeral I can recall in my adult years, other than my friend's mom, was my aunt. Mm. And I had to go to my aunt because, I don't know, it was something in my spirit said, you got to be there.
Right.
And my mom was going to go. Yeah, my mom was going to go. And so I knew I had to be there. That was not my only aunt. I got plenty of aunts after her, but that was the oldest. She's the oldest of the siblings. Mm-hmm. And I love my Aunt Barbara. So I had to be there. Right. And I was happy to be there because it was almost like a family reunion because she was the one that I think if anybody else would have passed away, not saying this is a fact, but if anybody else may have passed away, it'd have been not all the family.
Wow.
You know, it'd have been their family. She was like a connector for us. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everybody loved Aunt Barbara. Mm-hmm. Everybody would go see Aunt Barbara come to the South. Yeah. Aunt Barbara would go wherever you were. You know, I mean, like everybody knew, like they had to be there.
When she
passed, it was like a family reunion. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I had seen people that wasn't even alive so many years ago, because they were new, you know, like kids or preteens or teenagers or young adults, you know, and I'm meeting family members. I'm like, oh, I ain't even know who you from where? Like California, like all over the United States coming because of her. It was not a big funeral, but it was the best. And it was also the first time I ever did that whole viewing the body thing.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Absolutely not before that. But when I did see her, it reminded me why I didn't like doing that because seeing her in that casket
changed
the game for me. See? Broke my and it broke my heart to a degree.
See that all that broke my heart. She gone.
And she gone.
And your heart broke because she was dark and she was big.
Yes,
and
she was right. And the skin didn't look like was stuck
in. No, seriously, seriously. Yeah. And I was mad. I was mad. Like who put this?
See what
on
I'm saying? All that. All that.
So.
Oh yeah.
Then forgot she was the connected person in the family.
My mom was like, who put my sister makeup on my sister? My sister didn't look like that.
She did a bad job.
Right.
Don't send them over there to that funeral home. They don't know what they doing.
Right. But now that's what you
Or the casket. Ooh, it was so cheap.
No.
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't want all of that.
Now, the fun thing, though, is my aunt had everything. My aunt was Aretha Franklin. She had her will where we can find it. Okay,
so that wasn't that.
But she had everything, including will, insurance papers, everything.
Mm-hmm.
All where her kids could get to it and knew what to do. Fortunately that my oldest cousin, her oldest daughter is a lawyer. So so everything was together.
Right.
Which brings me to the point of that whole, you know, are you together?
Right.
I so appreciate that because I'm going to tell you, like I said, I've been going to funerals since I can remember. But what I remember there is either people was crying crazily, like you could tell they got all these regrets. But you could tell it was regret. It was regret. It was a lot of regrets clawing at the, you know, like it was.
It's the dramatic. Drama. Yeah. And then also the family fighting.
Yes.
The family fighting over what possession.
The color of the casket. Yeah. What she gonna wear.
Yeah,
how she gonna look.
Right.
Listen.
Or talk about the after.
Put the stuff in writing.
Yeah. Put the stuff in writing. Yes. Please. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, because you're already grieving.
Right.
I don't want to have to make a decision about what you're wearing.
Yeah.
Right. And
I don't want to have to be worried about who gonna sit where.
Right.
And all this here stuff.
Yeah. And who's gonna ride in the limo.
And who gonna ride in the limo. Lord, today.
Yeah.
Don't let cousin so-and-so be in the front.
He got down to the...
How he getting there? He didn't even come see how he getting. And all these stories come out.
Right. It's too much.
And it get down to the who gonna serve the food.
Oh, my goodness.
Too much.
But that's what happens on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Right? How much money is being spent on a funeral? Where the money gonna come from if they didn't have none? Mm-hmm. Everybody got to pitch in. Somebody got it. Somebody don't. They looking up. They can't say nothing about what goes in the with obituary because they ain't put no money in.
Yeah.
This is why I want to be
And this is, I was just about to say, and this is why I don't want an elaborate ceremony. Just, if you want to come, I don't want no, you ain't viewing me. That's the end of discussion. I'm in the box, okay? All you going to do is you going to see me off or you going to see me at the plot. Okay, because that's all I'm concerned about. I don't, if you, and like you said, have a memorial, but it don't have to be at the funeral home. Why am I paying them for you to have memories?
Listen.
You're going to have your memories at my free house, somebody's free house.
Right, and that, you know what? I learned, now that's the one thing I did learn. We got into a big thing with the church.
Yes.
Over my file, and we were like, but our family's, you know, going to this church for years and contributing and been members and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a battle royale.
How about,
that was crazy.
How about the insurance hadn't kicked in something yet?
Mm-hmm.
And they hold your shit. They will hold your body until the insurance kicks their money in.
No, he's not coming out now.
No, not like that.
Wasn't up on the task.
Yes.
They went up.
I don't mean it like they'll hold the body from the funeral, but they will not, hold the body. They can hold the body all the way from the mortuary, from like the morgue, all the way to the plot. If you don't have the money kicked in where it's supposed to be and whatever, they will hold that body.
Yeah.
Your body, James Brown. They held that body
forever.
Like,
when is he gonna die for real?
He died.
My man rest.
But they was because they was squabbling over money and where to put it and all that other stuff. And they will hold that money if that insurance money don't kick in when it's supposed to. They will not put that body in that ground.
I'm gonna make it easy. Just set me a fire, set me a blaze, and just toss me in the wood. Look, even if my kids have to do it the old style bonfire, whoosh. No.
I'm fine with it.
Can you imagine? Can say somebody be like, okay, well, this is what mom said. Everybody be like,
But you know what? Here's some other stuff you learned. So a friend of ours, she had, her mom was cremated.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that technically it's illegal to throw ashes out?
Really?
Human remains are not supposed to be tossed around into random places. It's human remains. So it's technically illegal, even though people do it all the time.
Yeah,
people go
to
the beach. People go to the river. People go to the toss it out the air.
Alex's toe.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But legally, it's illegal to toss human remains out.
All right. Well, then bury me and then plant a tree over top.
That's why they give you urns and stuff. Yeah. But they're supposed to do that. I mean, in other words, it's you get the ashes in a little baggie. You get the ashes, but it come in a little baggie.
Really?
Kid you not. Inside the thing, and then you pour it into the urn.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Now that's
you come in a Ziploc bag, girl.
Oh, Lord. I can see them now trying to pour me in the urn. Oh,
but listen, but I guess I wanted to make I wanted to make that point, just like we were talking, and you pointed out that cremation isn't as individualized as people want to believe it is.
Joan, Alex, and whoever else.
So they put like multiple bodies stacked into the urn, into the I forget what that Kindle or whatever they call it,
the furnace,
the furnace, the furnace.
Like,
no, listen. There was a guy in Cleveland. They did this whole news story on this guy in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
He the family had bodies. He had bodies stacked up that he hadn't even burnt yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
oh, Lord.
But he had gave them.
other ashes out of there.
All these ashes. Yeah. They've had that happen. That's when they started finding out that it was happening all across the United States. It wasn't localized. It wasn't specific to these funeral homes. It was all over. Are thinking you're getting Aunt Jane's remains, and you didn't got Jane, your Aunt Jane,
everybody,
her Aunt Jane,
Uncle Jimmy.
Because it may have been Jane, the day of Jane's dead, you know, dead Jane bodies that was all tossed together. All Janes.
That's why I never could connect when people do have the urns and they're just so obsessed over these ashes. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. There's no way in the world I want to sit on somebody's shelf. Mm-hmm. No, get rid of me. I'm sorry.
Please. Now you know why they get you on the shelf, because legally they technically are not supposed to be getting rid of you.
Look, y'all, bury me behind
not without
the
proper
house.
Disposal.
Bury me and then plant a tree. I'm good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? As you say, to give back to the earth, ashes. Well, there you go.
I mean, that's the logic, I don't even know when it became illegal. That'd be fun fact to come up with.
Yeah.
Like when it became illegal, because I'm sure it had to become illegal. It wasn't always illegal, but it became illegal at some point that you're not like you can't go to a national park.
Oh well, nah.
But people do it all the time.
I didn't know that.
People do it all the time. That's where the illegal part comes from. Okay. Because wherever you're going to do it, it's owned by someone. National parks, the beach is city state property. So legally, you're dumping on.
Well, then, like
on
I said,
property.
Bury me behind my house where I own my own house.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that because it's your property, but taking it outside, which most people do, not do it on their own property. You don't. Right. Most people go into beaches and rivers lakes.
I have a friend who's
not
from,
yours.
I think she's from Nigeria.
Hey. What you doing? Can't put her there.
I have a friend
Lake
that's from Nigeria.
It's not your Lake Erie. It's Lake Erie.
Lakita Lake Erie.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I have a friend from Nigeria and they bury their family members right on the family land. Like you go into their door and the dad's by the door.
Yeah.
As you walking in. So you're in remembrance. When you come down to the village, mom and daddy is right there and whoever else.
My
and
cousins
that was
are
historical.
There.
Yeah. That's historical.
I mean, my uncle and aunt are buried in, you know, my cousin's yard. Now, granted, I have a story about that. I spooked myself half to death, but, you know, they are buried in the backyard. Mm-hmm. With, you know, gravestones in the whole nine.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, if you have the land to do it and, you know, there's so much footage and so much yardage that you have to have in America. I can't say about other countries, but in America, you know, we all about the nitty gritty and the fine lining. So if you have the proper footage and square, you know, the land to do all of that, you could do it because a lot of landowners, that's what they did. You know what I mean? If you were lucky to have land, and especially in the South and back in the day, that's what happened. I mean, that's why you're coming up now when you're going through some neighborhoods that getting gentrified. Mm-hmm. They're coming up, bringing up African American plots that were deeply buried. Oh, and met and then sat over. Half of Central Park used to be an African burial site, slave site, former freedmen or slave site, former slaves or freedmen site.
Interesting. Now that would be okay. Because we'll be talking about this forever.
Yes, just my fun facts, you know.
I love that. That one I like a lot. That's interesting to find out.
That is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So we were saying a lot in that portion of the episode, and we were, you know, being funny and everything like that, but the question still lies that are you prepared for what could be unexpected, especially an unexpected loss of a loved one? Or are you prepared, you know, so that loved ones left behind know what to do?
Exactly.
And, you know, for the next half, we're going to be talking to a friend of mine, but just to give you some background, you know, she lost her husband. She was overseas at the time. And it was a very unexpected and traumatic experience for her. You know, one, losing your husband. Two, you're out of the country and have no family or network of support. And then three, you know, it was because it was unexpected, you know, all of that had to occur to get him back to the United States.
Right.
And then to move on from that point that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then throw in, you know, the fact that they had how many children? Four?
Five.
Five. Right. Five mm-hmm. children. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it was just a lot. And I don't, you know, no one could have ever seen that coming. And the courage that it took for her to move on and do all of this mm-hmm. is amazing.
Yes.
So when you listen, you know, I would keep in mind and just listen from the perspective of, but what would you have done?
Right.
And are you ready for these type of, that type of loss? Or are you ready to go? Or are you sitting there confronted with your own mortality?
Right. And then also, just sit back and listen to her journey. It's
yes.
powerful.
One more note that we wanted to make is that this is our first time recording an interview where the person is not in the same room with
right.
us.
Actually, none of us were in the same room. It's the first time we actually did a recording with even the both of us not in the same room.
Exactly. So we were using it was a new technique of a mm-hmm. new app. Mm-hmm. And we noticed in playback later that there was some distortion to the recording that
yes.
we just unfortunately wasn't aware of and couldn't get all of the edits out.
Right.
So if you hear some of that, we just wanted to apologize up front and say, you know, we hope that you're still able to embody the message of
yes.
the interview and the intent and everything. And we're sorry that if there's some times where it seems like it gets a little wonky.
Yeah. Oopsie. but we're working on that. And so, you know, this is a work in progress. So as we continue to do these interviews, you'll be able to hear the changes and the differences and all of that.
Exactly. This is our journey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yay.
We're here today with a good friend of mine, Aaliyah Tusana. Me and Aaliyah go so far back. Let's tell you how far back this is. It goes so far back that she was here before me. Like she was already in the crib, and then I came a year and a couple months later. Okay, that's how far we go back. Like literally from the cribs to breast. Okay, like so we are here with her, even though you know I'm keeping it light because even though we're about to talk about some really serious stuff and in a somber tone, possibly right. We just want to keep it light, but this is my friend for life, been friends, like I said, since babies, and she's here to kind of share with us this new part of her life journey that she's going through that kind of came from, unfortunately, a death of her spouse. My friend's name is Aaliyah Tusana. I like to introduce you. Can I just give you your accolades? Because, you know, she thinks she's so everybody's people, right? And I'm like, girl. Whatever, right? So she's a mom of five, okay? Five Ooh. Wonderful kids, five doing life and living it kids, okay? She is an educator, has been an educator for I don't know how many years. I'm about to throw that in there. I don't even 20. Know, but she's been 20, okay? So she's been an
Whoa,
educator for
yeah,
20.
Bow down, bow down.
Bow down, right, Lakita? Lakita's
yes, bow down.
Too. she has done some amazing side gigs too, like acting. You have maybe seen her in a not so long ago episode in last season's Black Lightning. Her and her sister were in the queue, fanning themselves in the church scene, girl. Yes.
Oh my God.
I call them Martha and Mary. And now she has added on to her list of great things being a blogger of Lulu's Letters. Or is it Lulu's Love Letters?
Lulu's Love Letters, yes.
Lulu's Love Letters, which so happens to be hosted as an article, a featured article on her daughter's website, Pussy Power. Hey, it is what it is. But what's the actual website name?
It's ppowerworldwide.com.
Okay. That's where this article, Lulu's Love Letters, is featured. Before we get, you know, deep into the conversation, talk to us about in a nutshell. Like, tell us about the experiences you've had during your journey of life, but mostly because of this newfound portion of your life during your journey with grief that led you to want to write about it.
Basically, I've met many people, including children, who've suffered loss in one way or another. And at first, to me, I was just thinking, okay, I've lost a spouse. This is my life partner, my best friend. But then I said, you know what? Loss is loss. Whether that's losing your home or finances, a career, whatever it is, a car even, you know, whatever it takes, as far as it takes a lot of things from you, you basically need healing in order to get over it. So I decided that it was something that I was going to probably deal with for a long time in my life. And I thought that if I helped other people, that I would also help myself.
Wow. That's just in perspective, because I never even thought about it from that, not just of a person or loved one, but the actual loss of job and career, you know, like your like you said, a car or your mortgage, you know, your house. People have lost their houses and it tears you up.
Yes.
It does. Oh my God,
like that sense of failure, or you know, the sense of alone, loneliness, or being alone in the situation, thinking you're the only one.
Yeah.
You know? So talk to me about that. Like, when your husband passed, how did that, what happened in your life? Like, where did your life go? Like you said, experience of that kind of loss.
That's interesting. Basically, the first thing that I felt was a gratitude. Because I realized that I've been married to a great guy for over 26 years, known him for 28. So I was appreciative. I was thinking, you know what? I've been blessed, because there are some people who've never found someone to love and spend time with. So that was my first place. And then as time progressed, then I felt a whole bunch of other feelings. I felt the loss. I would have a lot of tears. Some frustrations. I would realize that there were so many things that we shared that I would no longer be able to share with him. There were just so many feelings that were going on with me. And basically, I realized that I had to basically start over. So it was like a new beginning. I needed to press a restart. At the time when he passed away, we were overseas. So I decided I was going to come back to America, where I had people who knew me. My children were here. The rest of my children are all adults. So my children were here. My parents were here. My sister. So I decided I would come home and just get a restart. So I didn't have a place to live. I didn't have a job. Basically, when that happened to me, I hit a restart, period.
Wow.
Dang.
I'm sorry.
We both said wow at the same time.
But you know what? I just want to say that at first the restart sounded kind of sad when I explained that to people, but I want you to know that my attitude is that the restart was a fresh restart. It was like, okay, girl, whatever you messed up in the past, you get to fix it.
That's a
great way to think about all of, you know,
So
just the whole, I'm sorry.
When you returned, what was the reaction upon this? Like you like you said, you said to yourself, well, this is what I'm going to do, right? For yourself. And you knew you had to, I would imagine, do that not just for yourself, but you have still children at the time who were still not independent, right? You had 2, 3 that were independent, but 2 that weren't at the time, right? So what was the reaction of you coming back to the States, reacclimating yourself amongst family and friends again? What happened? Like, how were they reacting to you?
At first, I had a lot of people that would avoid me. I think that mostly people didn't know how to approach me. They didn't know if I was going to be sad or what they would get, period. Even though these are people who have known us ever, know myself and my husband, know my entire family. It was pretty lonely initially, and to kind of get over the feelings of other people, I took a trip to Miami. So I went to the water, I got some seafood, had a few drinks, and I said, all right, let's do this thing, you know? And then I kind of came back and telling people, my position on things, that, hey, yes, this happened. That loss happens to everybody. And like, if you want to be a part of this next chapter in who I'm going to be, you need to, you know, we need to reestablish a relationship. I don't want you to feel that every time you call me, I'm going to talk about this. We don't have to talk about this. This isn't something that is going to continue to be a topic that I'm going to stick to. There are so many other things to talk about. We can talk about travel. We can talk about food. I like food. Anything you want to talk about, you know, just call me. And sometimes if you just want to call me and tell me what's going on with you, that would be fine. So it was me re-educating people on, I'm still the same person. I'm still, you know, quick-witted. I still say things that people are like, did you just say that? That's still who I am, you know. I'm the oldest of two girls, and like the other one is more I don't know, outgoing and everything, but like I'm one of those thinkers, but the things that I'm thinking I let out a lot more often. So
yeah. Look, I wanna say that's a combo of events. That's called you also over 40.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly.
I agree.
But I'm glad you said that, and the reason why I'm glad that you said it like that is because for me, thinking about how you brought us to present to how this type of loss is any and everything, it's not just a person, right? That's the kind of reaction that people give you too when you lose a house.
Or even your job.
Exactly. That's the kind of reaction you get, it sounds like, in similarity in general when it comes to losing something that other people feel uncomfortable about because either they have it still or they don't know what they would do if it happened to them.
Yeah. I mean, so we were thinking about this. This is a really sensitive subject, and at times I'm sure it's really difficult to talk about, but how did you find the courage to begin this supportive platform for others? Because that takes a lot, you know, of something within you. So how did you find that courage? Like, where did that come from?
Really, I have no idea. I'm the oldest of two girls, and I've always been like a smart aleck. I would get, you know, popped a few times, but
memories.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Farika's having a flashback.
I think she got popped less than me.
Exactly.
I've always been. I'm not sure if I was built in the wrong era or what. I've always believed that if you believe you can do something, you can do it. So controversy is not something that I've ever shied away from.
Okay.
It just felt like the right thing to do. I needed to find a safe space for me to have these conversations, but also allow other people to have the conversations with me.
So this actually became a safe, a source of healing for you.
Yes.
This
I'm hoping that this space is a source for healing for me, but also for other people. I want to, it hasn't gotten there yet, but my vision of the blog is to encourage people to write in, kind of like a Dear Abby version of it. Where people are able to speak on the loss that they felt and not have any type of resistance to it. You know, we can talk about it. We can hash over it. We can all just kind of support each other in whatever the topic or whatever the conversation or whatever issue you're going through. And you can kind of get over it, live through it, and keep moving, because loss never leaves you. It becomes less, how do I say, less painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you just become stronger and you kind of just live with it, you know?
Right. So this
sounds very therapeutic or cathartic, I should say, for not just you, but for people who would want to read this, as well as, like you said, at some point, look for the advice about it. Like, it gives them an opportunity to kind of release without feeling judged or looked at, you know?
And I'm not a therapist or anything. I'm an educator, but I do have therapists as friends, and they have promised to support me with the blog and help out. So if there are people that reach out to me and they have some concerns or whatever, I have therapists that are actually willing to support people through the process. So I'm basically there to just open up the avenue and to create a safe space for people to be able to talk.
So how many people have you shared this with, saying to them, you have a blog about this matter, and how do they react when you say that?
Well, most of the reaction has been positive. A lot of people have a lot of questions about it. I've noticed that some people are not as comfortable having the conversation still. I'm working on a way to ensure that people feel more comfortable having the conversation. I have a lot of looky-loos on the blog. A lot of people show up and look, and I can see that on my end of the site on the blog.
Oh, wow.
But so far, I haven't had anyone who has posted a question or anything. But I have had people come up to me at work and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm going through right now. Can you give me some advice? I do get that a lot.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to figure out a way that I'll be able to share that, because I feel like what happens in our culture now, because we are so technology driven, everything is out there. A lot of people feel like if something's happening to them, that it's not happening to anybody else. And when something's happening with one person, it's happening with a lot of people. And if we actually share, we can heal a lot more people.
That is yes. So true. I mean, saying itself, the cliche is sharing right. is caring. Could never be more factual than what you just said, yes. right? Like, if you share it, then other people can heal too.
I've learned a lot from doing the blog. So I've learned that courage is calling me. I'm more of an introverted person naturally, if that makes sense. But courage has been calling me for years. And so I'm learning to not wait for permission, to not allow fear to hold me hostage. I've never listened to people with low expectations. So that's not one of my issues. But I realized that even if I fail at something, that it doesn't mean that I'm a failure. It means that I just need to revisit my plan and try it again, like in a different way or something. So basically, I'm walking on faith right now and allowing myself to take risks, using my courage, because I feel like if I don't step out there with courage, then basically I'm just going through the motions. I'm waking up every day, going to work and just living. And that's not the life I want. I want to be outside of my comfort zone. I want to be helpful to generations. There's just so many things that I want in life. Having the courage to do all the things that I'm like purpose to do, like that's my goal to get done.
Awesome.
Go ahead, Frigga.
Go ahead.
Wait, is it silence over there?
I know, on my side especially, right?
What? Oh Lord. Wait.
Go ahead, Lakita.
I was just going to say, you kind of added to that we were going to ask about, as you continue to heal, do you have plans to kind of expand on your blog? And you just gave us some things that you have kind of hopes to do in terms of expansion. And it may not necessarily be something that you actually plan for, but it's all kind of just coming to you, which is great. Is there anything else that you had, you know, kind of want as a goal for this blog, or would like to kind of achieve in terms of expansion?
Yes, I'm actually looking at having conferences, panel discussions, retreats, and I have like the travel bug. So I'm the kind that wants to see things and do things. And I feel like changing your atmosphere changes your mindset. So my idea is to have conferences in random places. I also know that one of the goals that I set for myself is to write a couple of books as well. And also, I'm a new grandma, so I want to write a children's book on my for my granddaughter. So, yes, I do have plans. And my plans are not always, I'm sure that my plans are more short-term plans, if that makes sense. That God has some even bigger ones for me, and I'm open to that.
I actually love how you said that. Like, those are your short-term goals. Albeit they sound very grand. But like you said,
you got these goals and God got a whole other set of goals that you don't even know about. That
exactly, exactly. He cracks me up. He's up there laughing now, like, yeah, okay. Okay. That's what like, you. That's what goals. You have.
Right. Right. That goal, I don't even have to help you with. That was such a baby goal. Really?
Right, right.
Exactly. So is there anything else? I mean, you've said some of the most inspiring stuff
indeed.
In a few minutes that we were thinking we were going to be saying more. We're like,
right.
I'm a quiet person, so I don't know. You guys have hit a passion button.
And I'm glad because we needed this. We wanted this, you know, because the whole point of this episode is us talking about, you know, that people don't, one, talk about loss and death and don't plan for it as they could or should, right? Like, I'm sure you didn't plan for that either, right? Like, right? So, and then in the aftermath of it all, you know, is where, you know, it really gets difficult, mm-hmm. right? It's not just that you lost, like in this case, a person, as you said, for not just in loss in general, mm-hmm. right? That you lost a person. But then you also have, you had 5 kids. Like I said, you still had children to raise without him, yes. right? Still had things to pay yeah. for. Put another kid through school.
Yeah, have one at Howard.
Wow.
One, that's what I mean. Right. That's what I mean. Like after his passing, you had to put another kid in school and you still have one to go. How, when it comes to things like, I mean, not getting personal into that, but I'm just saying like, bring me into your world now. Mm-hmm. With that kind of realization of it was unplanned, nobody saw it, but because that's what I think also people need to hear, you know, like you're not going to always know, but you need to get an idea of what you should be doing now in case. Never know. Loss comes up like death. It never, you don't see it coming. It just happens.
Right. So in this journey, what have you learned that if something that you wish someone would have kind of shared or gleaned with you, if in case, you know, something happens, what are some jewels that you can share with other folks that you've learned? Like, okay, if this happens, boom, you know what I mean?
That is a great question. I would say, first of all, that in anything you do, that one of your life partners is God.
Hmm.
It sounds like, again, like a cliche or whatever. When my husband was around, we had God in the midst of that. And it's like, what I did is I listen, if I'm going to be able to keep doing this thing the way that I'm doing it, because my expectations for myself are big. I just basically said, God, you're going to have to help me through this because you know how I am. You know how I like things to be great. You know how I like to have an impact on people and not a negative impact. I want positive impact only. The gem that I could give is that whether you're making a tiny step or a giant leap, movement is movement.
Mm.
So I'm like, get out of your comfort zone, move towards faith and courage. Like I said before, one of the big things, even I talk to my kids in my classroom, everybody is designed for a purpose and a destiny. And basically, we just have to be courageous enough to pursue it. I think that a lot of people have fear and they think I'm not good enough to do this, or I'm too small, or I'm not smart enough, or I don't have enough money to do this. With God, you could do anything you can imagine.
So what it sounds like you're saying is live your life now while you're
And then if something happens, don't lean on your faith. Right. Don't stop. Keep moving forward. Lean on your faith.
Yes. I mean, I had a purpose before I married my husband and I was married to him a long time, but I continued having my purpose. My purpose changed in that I had other purposes added to it when I had those 5 children. You know, and then every time I stepped into a classroom, I had additional purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Every environment I stepped into, I had additional purposes. Like my purpose is to be certain that I'm a good friend, that I'm a good mother, that I'm a good teacher, I'm a good sister, I'm a good daughter. Like, purpose.
And now you're a good grandma.
Yeah.
Thank you. And she's so sweet. I mean, you just got to keep going. You can't stop. No, you can't plan for loss. Even if I had like all these, if I had like life insurance plans and this plan and that plan, seriously, you can never prepare for loss. What you have to do when loss happens is to keep moving. And what I haven't shared is that I haven't just lost my spouse. I've lost other things along the way. Everybody has. Right. Oh, that's like the connection everybody has. Once you realize that loss is loss, and through that loss, yes, you experience things, but you also got to grow. The path will clear itself for you to see what that is.
Wow. You hit it all exactly. I mean, I don't have any many words. You know, and I got lots of words.
Right. You created a miracle over here.
You got me speechless.
That never happens, okay?
Everybody that's listening is probably like, what? They like checking their applications and their iPods or whatever they listening to us on. I mean, phones and stuff. They like, what happened? It was silence for a minute.
And the other part,
she didn't say peep.
And the that's other hilarious. Part that we don't have to be perfect. You know, nobody is perfect. I'm not perfect. Every day I'm living. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
We just have to allow each other grace, you know?
Here. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Just allow grace.
I love what you brought to this episode. Yes. Honestly, you kind of shifted us in a different direction, and we're probably going to be yes. recording some
things we have to change now. Yes. Yes.
We started off like, this is going to be about, now we're like, wait a
right.
I like this better. Wait a second, you know? So I'm really happy that we chose you and that you've shared with us, you know, your journey, and that you brought a pivotal point to this, and that loss is yes. loss, and it's never expected. And I am so appreciative that you had the opportunity to be on today, just because, I mean, I mean, my mind is over here like blown, first of all, like. That. And then second of all, I think I got something out of this that even though we talk all yeah. the time, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still learning you, and I love that. I love the fact
I'm
that
still learning.
We're all evolving. You said I'm still learning me.
I mean, we evolve. So.
Yes.
Yes.
I just want to say thank you, and I'm very grateful for this particular conversation, because just like Farika, this was not what I was expecting. I'm trying not to cry over here.
Oh.
I experienced a loss. My father passed away last year, unexpectedly. Yeah. And, you know, my mother is still going through
yeah.
you know, her, I mean, she's a trooper. She keeps moving forward. She's on a cruise as we speak. But yeah,
oh,
my
wait
mother,
a
yeah,
second
my mom,
now.
You know, my okay. mother keeps moving.
She did.
Yeah, she's doing her thing, but it just brought forth, because I also experienced some other losses, and so it just really kind of brought everything to full circle for me in this conversation, even especially the idea of, you know, leaning on your faith and continuing to move forward. Yeah. So I thank you for that.
Me too.
Well, thank yep. you both for having me. Today is the 2-year anniversary of my husband's oh. passing. So when I was asked to do it, you know, the old me would have said, nah, I'm not that interesting. But the new me says, when opportunities knock, you open the door and you run. So ooh. Thank you both for having me.
Thank you. And I was going to say, leave us with
your info. Yeah.
Where they can find this, you know, again, I said at the beginning, but let's just leave on that note again. Where can they, anybody listening to this that wants to read or ask questions or, you know, be involved with Lulu's Love Letters, where can they go again?
Sure. I'm on Instagram under at Lulu's Love Letters. You can also find me on ppowerworldwide.com on the blog portion of it under Lulu's Love Letters as well. You can also reach out to me through Gmail. It's Lulu's Love Letters 2020 at gmail.com.
Perfect. So for anyone that's listening, we're also going to put that in the podcast description that you can see, especially on like iTunes. And if you go to Anchor's website, you'll see that listed as links to those social media links and email. Again, thank you. I wish you, as always, you know, best of everything. But I already know you got it. Even when you have your moments where you like, I'm not that good. I'm still gonna be like, whatever, girl. I'm rooting for you. So I
and
love you.
Let people know they can reach out to me about anything. I appreciate that.
You just told me. This is a portion called So What Now, where we kind of like wrapping it up. And we're going to wrap it up in a way, because like we had said in the beginning of the episode, there was so much that happened before we published this episode that right. we weren't expecting out of the episode that we got from it. And you know, and it turned out to be all in the good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you know, there was a experience of loss that we all had as a nation, and that was losing Kobe Bryant.
Right.
But, you know, the conversation, ironically, came before his death occurred. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, just wanted to wrap up this episode because where we wanted to come in initially and say, oh, this is about preparation for death. And, you know, it's about losing a loved one. And are you prepared? Mm-hmm. Are you personally prepared to go if you, you know, should your demise come before your preparedness?
Right.
And, you know, all of that. That's where we really want to go. And it's not that we want to lose sight of that because, you know, it's still a part of the conversation
exactly.
of death. But we realize when bringing in other people into the conversation, that it really was a conversation about death and beyond that.
Exactly.
Or loss.
Loss.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about how loss is loss. And, you know, despite the fact that we can be prepared and all of those things, what we learned from Aaliyah is that your grief stays with you. And what happens is you can get stuck in that grief and not move forward. And most of the time we get stuck because it's such a sensitive topic that we don't want to share.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to share. It's hard to talk to people. And sometimes people walk away. No, not walk away, but they kind of shun the conversation. They shun us because they don't know how to have that conversation with you either.
They're reactive. And it's because
people react differently when it comes to death and grief.
Well, it's loss.
Yeah.
People react differently to you when you're just losing anything. When you lose a job or
that
a house.
Is true.
If you lose a pet and they don't have one.
Right.
If you lose a, you know, anything, because I think it's just a normal human reaction that if you don't haven't experienced it,
mm-hmm.
you're not sure how to deal with it.
And how to talk
and
to that
person. And how to deal with someone who's mm-hmm. experiencing it. So it's, I think it's all loss that it's a knee-jerk reaction for some people. Now, you notice that the people who can deal with it better have experienced it already.
That's true. And so they know what to say, how to share.
Right.
And
comfort
they,
you
right.
or to come and follow up with you.
Exactly.
Without feeling like they're intrusive
right.
or that they are not doing something enough. Whereas, I mean,
someone who's never experienced
right.
it, they're kind of like all thumbs even.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a personal experience of that, you know, a friend's mother passed
mm-hmm.
and I did reach out, and when I didn't get a response, I kind of thought maybe that person didn't want to be bothered and just needed more time for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it didn't even occur to me like, you know, you should maybe follow up again and just keep
right.
following up because maybe they need that, because I had not experienced any loss to know what to do or how I would even react. I, you know me, I'm the go inside myself kind of person
right.
or I'll just be like, I can handle it. And so my reaction was that. And then later I found out, you know, the person was okay with how it was dealt with,
mm-hmm.
but it was this person's first loss too. It wasn't
right.
like this person, you don't lose a parent every day.
Exactly.
So it was all fresh and new. And
it was understood. The person understood me and how I reacted or didn't or whatever, and it was okay. But I'm just saying that you get all thumbs, especially if you haven't experienced something.
Well, I've had an experience where I've experienced the loss, and then someone else has experienced the loss, and I'm still at a loss for how to help them, because sometimes, or what I've discovered is I got stuck in my own grief, you know, or stuck in my own feelings of loss, or it reminds me of that loss, or it brings it back. So sometimes people who have experienced loss and then have a friend who's experiencing loss, they don't necessarily know, they're all thumbs, because they don't necessarily know how to deal with their own reoccurring emotions. So right. it can be a lot in many ways. But the point that Aaliyah brought up to us and kind of helped us to think about was that you have to keep moving. You have to continue to move forward. And not that you have to share, but sharing, as you say, sharing is caring.
I always say sharing is caring.
Well, because what happens with that sharing is that you are releasing all of that. And you also realize that other people, you're not alone in that. That other people have experienced this and you are not alone.
Yeah.
And those people who have experienced it, like you said, can, you know, talk to you about certain things that you're unsure of, can, you know, reassure you, can sometimes just hug, you know, or just, you know, sit in a quiet space and listen. That's what I mean by
that. And it takes away the feeling for anyone of loneliness or being alone in a situation when you share. When that one person opens up, it releases everyone from the whole discomfort of being alone,
right?
Or not thinking that others can understand them. Right. So it brings that togetherness or that community or that feeling of acceptance in what they think may not be an acceptable situation, you know, and it's going back to the loss of any kind, any kind of loss. When you're experiencing it, you feel like you're the only one who's experienced a job loss or losing your house or a divorce, which is a loss, you know, so you think that you're alone. And even though you know you're not, I mean, in the logic of it all, it's not how it occurs in the emotions of it all.
Exactly.
So sharing, some one person sharing with you or you sharing with yourself with others really brings everyone full circle, and it completes everyone in a sense of you're not alone.
Right.
You know, and you're not the only one.
Exactly.
And you're okay. Which is where we all want to be, you know?
Right.
So I did think that that was I think that's why I got, everybody probably already heard that, I actually got quiet.
Miracle of all miracles.
Hey.
Clutching my pearls.
Hey. I have my moments, okay? But, you know, that was one of those, it was the aha moment, like I never even thought about it like that. And it is true, you know, that loss is loss. And people will react the same regardless, because it's just they don't know what to do, or they're experiencing you vicariously and it's not something they really know how they want to deal with. So, you know, they're like, I don't know what to say or do. I'm going to walk away, or I'm going to go over here because I don't really know. You know, all of a sudden you become an egg.
Exactly. And like, okay, we're just going to give them their space. Like, ooh, we don't want it to crack.
We don't want it to. Dang it, Humpty Dumpty.
Exactly.
So that was the one cool thing. I know we were being facetious about, you know, how we plan to go or what we want out of situation, but I don't want us to lose sight that that is very important. It still comes back to the whole, what we originally wanted to speak about.
Right.
And that is, are you prepared?
Yeah.
Because it is not something that you are ever going to be able to predict. Even if a doctor comes into your hospital room and says, you got 10 days to live, you can live 5 or you can live 20.
Exactly.
Nobody really gets to say that, but you and God, in a sense, right?
Right.
You need to be prepared. And even though we didn't really get into all of that, because we're not trying to tell people what to do, we're not in that realm or space, but we do want you to take this conversation, think about it. If you are not prepared, look into talking to the adequate people, like a lawyer or so, or people who do estate building, and, you know, look into writing your will, or make sure you have the proper insurance, speak to someone at a funeral home, look into, if you don't have insurance, learn and educate yourself, as I had to learn, that it don't always take insurance. And in fact, sometimes insurance is not your friend.
Right.
Sometimes you need the arrangements is most important thing, mm-hmm. unless you have property or small children that may be left behind that need caring for. Mm-hmm. Those are the times when insurance is most important. But, you know, look into educating yourself about the things that you need to mm-hmm. be able to leave behind your family, your loved ones, or whatever, and that you're prepared.
Yep. And I think by doing that, to tie it back into the whole idea of getting stuck in your grief, it will help your family members not to be so stuck.
1,000%. Because the last thing you want to do is leave them with the job. And I do say the job of trying to sort out your affairs, of also trying to sort through their emotions all at the same time.
Yes.
Because that is why we see so many families get broken up over what is naturally to occur, and that is death, because there's no preparation or because they're still trying to get through the whole loss of it all and the emotions, and now they got to go to work.
Right. Exactly.
You'd have left them with a job.
Pretty much. Right.
So, you know, we try to keep light and humor to it, as you can hear, just because, I mean, it is a heavy conversation.
Very.
It is a conversation that nobody wants to hear. Heck, I'm still trying to pull the alligator teeth out of my two parents about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Honestly.
Right.
And they both are in an age group where this shouldn't be that sensitive.
Yeah.
But it is.
Right. It still is.
It still is, mm-hmm. you know, because especially when they start seeing family members and friends go.
Right.
And that sense of confrontation of knowing you can be alone soon.
Right.
Or a lone survivor of family and friends. It's a bit much. I can get it. It's overwhelming and it's saddening.
Yes, it is. What? The one thing that I wanted us to do before we actually close
mm-hmm.
is I wanted to have just a moment of silence for Kobe and his family and the other members who passed away on that plane.
So there were 9 members that were on the plane. Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna Bryant, or Gigi, were 2.
Right.
There were teammates of hers from the
basketball team
that mm-hmm. she played on, mm-hmm. and there were coaches as well as, unfortunately, it's really sad, like whole families, like one of the team members was with both of her parents.
Exactly.
So now all 3 of them are gone.
Right.
And I think they left behind 1 child, one sister.
Wow.
So, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to them. So yes, let's have a moment of silence. And we want to really thank you for listening. We do hope that this episode was meaningful and purposeful for you.
Yes.
And then we thank you also for going on this journey with us.
Right.
This is just another journey of life.
Yep.
Thank you for this zigzagging with that hummingbird on the Hummingbird Effect podcast.
Click on the voice messages link in the show notes to share your feedback, comments, or suggestions. In addition, you can follow us on Instagram at the Hummingbird Effect Pod. Or on Facebook at The Hummingbird Effect Podcast. Don't forget to follow our hashtags, #TheHummingbirdEffectPodcast The Hummingbird Effect Podcast, and #KeepYourWingsHumming to keep up with our posts on social media. And most importantly, subscribe to the podcast to get the latest episodes and share.